Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Going to give you a brief update and summary of the activity of the last two or three weeks. I've been out of the country of Kenya for the last couple of weeks, just returned a few days ago, and we were in Mbeya, Tanzania, way down in the southern point of Tanzania near the Zambia border, a long, long journey from here. And we were there for a five-day crusade with Bonnie Waitegi and Martha Baraka, two of the great worship leaders in East Africa. And so we had a great five-day crusade there. Many, many thousands of people. Every day we had at least 5,000 people. The last day on Sunday, we had about 5,000 to 10,000, maybe 8,000 to 10,000 people. And we had approximately 500 salvation decisions. That's counting adults and older children, the younger children. We would have had thousands of salvation decisions had we counted the number with the children that came forward to the altar. There was many, many came every day. There was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 children in attendance. And so we had a great crusade. We were very happy with the results. And it was a time of joy there in Mbeya. And at the children's home, the Living Water Children's Home here in Kenya, we now have 24 children, and the children are in school, most of them, and they'll be getting out of school next week. That this current term will be ending, and so they'll have a couple of weeks off and then go back in for the spring term. And so we're very pleased with the children and their progress in school. Our Living Water Church is doing well. We have about 80 adults coming on a regular basis, and so we're very happy with that church as well. And your donations, your offerings, have encouraged and boosted all these activities, and so we invite all of you to participate in supporting this ministry here in Kenya. So today we're going to be talking about two baptisms, and this scripture comes from Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, which we'll get to here in just a minute. I want to give a little preview before we get to that Matthew 3:11 scripture. But many of the frequently asked questions about the Christian faith have to do with baptism. What is the meaning of baptism? How does it affect my faith? How does it affect my walk with the Lord? And so we're going to cover this, and then next week we'll be covering the Spirit baptism, which is talked about in Matthew 3:11. And so this will be a pertinent subject to all people. It is not a preaching as such. It's more of a teaching on doctrinal issues, but very important bedrock doctrinal issues of the Christian faith regarding baptisms. And so just to start and set the stage here, in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Well, John the Baptist, if you study back in chapters in Matthew and other books of the New Testament, he was a cousin of Jesus Christ, and he was appointed, he was prophesied in the Old Testament to be appointed to be the forerunner for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he was Jesus' cousin, and also he was a bit of an eccentric. He was living out in the desert, in the wilderness, and eating locusts and wild honey, and he was dressed in camel hair, a leather belt around his waist, so he was a bit of an eccentric character, and he was very focused on his mission. He knew that he was not the Messiah. He knew he was not the promised one, but he was there to pave the way for Jesus Christ. And there was, at this time, a move by him to baptize people who came to him, came to the Jordan River, and they were coming to repent of their sins. And so if you can imagine this nationwide movement of people that were hearing about John the Baptist out there, and he was preaching a message of repentance, for there was a message coming about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm sure people didn't totally understand that. People even now don't understand that when we have 66 books of the Bible to explain it to us. But the kingdom of heaven basically was that he was saying the kingdom is now here on this earth. And he was saying that because he knew Jesus Christ was on the earth, and he knew that there was going to be a revelation of God, a revelation of Almighty God, Jehovah God, through Jesus Christ, and a revelation of God's plan for mankind, and a revelation of God's destiny for each and every single person on the face of the earth. And John, I'm sure, didn't know the totality of that either, but he knew that he was a part of it. He knew he was appointed to be the messenger, the one who parted the way and the forerunner for Jesus Christ and the message of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And so he was an eccentric character, as I've said, but he had a message and people were responding to the message. And so he was saying, repent, or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what does it mean to repent? That's a good question right there. Initially, when you start to talk about baptism, the word repentance comes up. And the word repent means to turn from your ways, turn from your wicked ways, because the Bible says that we're all sinners, Romans 3:23. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I think every single person on the earth knows that they are a sinner innately, because our spirits are connected to God. We are made in the image of God. Even people in India or Asia or Africa who worship demon gods, worship idols, and all kinds of other pagan religions, even some religions that have worldwide following and are very big and very well known to people all over, those religions, the people know innately. I've talked with many people who have come out of religion that is very popular around here, not a Christian faith, that is very popular here in Kenya. And they will tell me that they innately knew in their heart, in their inner man, in their deepest part of their being, they knew that the religion that they were in was a false religion, that it had no connection to a real God. It was a religion of works. It was a religion of rewards and punishments. And so this message of the gospel is saying the kingdom of heaven, the true religion, the one true living God, and his plan for mankind is coming here. And so John the Baptist was saying, repent or turn from your wicked ways. And that message is still appropriate for each and every person today. If you understand, beloved, that you are a sinner, which if you contemplate about your life, you know that you've lied, you know that you've probably stolen, you know that you've probably coveted other people's things, you've gossiped, and you've done all kinds of other things. And so you know innately in your heart, even if you've never had a Christian preacher preach to you, which is very unlikely in itself, but here in Africa that's very possible. But you know that you're a sinner, and so John the Baptist was saying, sinner, it's time to repent. And so that message is still appropriate today, that we need to repent, we need to turn from our wicked ways, and so that is what precipitates the need for baptism, that precipitates that desire to get right with the Lord, that precipitates that desire to have a right standing or a righteousness, that we can stand before the Lord with a clear conscience. And for those who have not only lied and stolen, have done more despicable or more things that are in violation of God's plan, and so if that's you, and it certainly was me, we also need to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins and repent of those things, sexual immorality and drug use and drug selling and all kinds of lying, cheating, extortion, blackmail, everything that you can imagine, the litany of human behavior. And we need to come right before the Lord and get in right standing before him. So on the day of your death, that you can stand before God with a clear conscience and know without any shadow of a doubt that you're saved and you're in right standing with God, and you're going to spend all eternity in heaven with Jesus, with the Lord God, Jehovah, with the Holy Spirit, with the angels, with your ancestors who have also confessed Jesus as their Lord. And so this idea of repentance is critical to the salvation experience. It's critical to the precursor or the run-up to baptism, to water baptism. And so if you have never gotten down on your knees and confessed your sins to God and confessed your sins and your desire to be in right standing with God, you need to do that today. Do it right now. Even if you have never done that, just do it right now and get right with God. Repentance leads to holiness. Repentance leads to righteousness. And repentance is essential for your walk with the Lord and in your walk with the Lord. And so in verse 3, then we go on, and this is what Isaiah had said about John the Baptist. It says the prophet Isaiah spoke about John and said he was the voice of one, or he will be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. And it said, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. So this was a big mass movement, and it was rocking the whole society of Israel. It was rocking the whole country around Jerusalem, which was one of the major cities, Judea, one of the major districts, and all that region were going out to him, and they were being baptized by John in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And the Pharisees, which were the religious elite, they were the ones who were coming out to John also, and he said to them, bring forth fruits according to repentance. In other words, he was saying to these religious elite, you also have sin in your life. You also need to repent. You need to get right before the Lord. Just maintaining a checklist of religious activities, which is what religious people do. It's all about performance, and it's all about ritual and tradition. And so a spirit of religion will maybe gain you somewhat of a righteous life. It will maybe gain you somewhat of a right standing according to men. If men look at your life, they may accord to you a certain right standing and righteousness. But according to God, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so John was saying to these Pharisees, to these religious elite, yes, your religion has taken you away from God because you're now focused on performance, and you're now performing rituals, you're performing traditions, and you think you can obtain salvation through works and through your religious rituals. And so he says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, or some versions say, I am not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so this he that John is talking about is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And John is saying that he is going to be mightier than I, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so, beloved, this is one of the most crucial core doctrinal scriptures in the whole New Testament, the New Covenant. John is saying there's two baptisms. One is the baptism of water unto repentance for the remission of your sins. And the second is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. So the first baptism is a visible baptism. You can see it. You can see the person going down into the water, coming up out of the water. But the second baptism is an invisible baptism. You can't see it. And that's why some Christians miss it. Some doctrines miss it, because it's not something that you can see readily or see easily. There are some clues about it. There are some clues that give us indications that it has happened, that it has taken place, but it is not readily available to see. And so therefore, some Christian doctrines refuse to admit it and refuse to recognize it. But it is certainly just as important and just as vital and essential to the Christian walk as the water baptism. Okay, so then in verse 12, let's look at this. His winnowing fan, this is John talking about Jesus again, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so there is a picture of salvation right there. After John talks about the two baptisms, then he talks about the salvation and he draws a picture of it and he relates it to winnowing grain out on the threshing floor, which was a common daily activity for people out there in Israel, and it's a common daily activity for people here in Africa. We see people winnowing grain every single day. They pour it between buckets, or they pour it from a bucket or some kind of a basket out onto a tarp or out onto a piece of plastic, and they watch the chaff blow out of the grain. And so it's a very common picture that people can relate to. And so in a agricultural society, we don't see it much in the USA because we have the big grain harvesters, the big combines that do all the winnowing, and the chaff goes blowing out the back of the combine. And so it's a much more sophisticated process, but it accomplishes the same purpose. The good grain ends up in the grain tank. The good grain is kept and taken into the barn so it can be eaten, made into bread. And so the chaff then will be burned up with unquenchable fire. And that's a picture of hell. That's a description of hell. The chaff has no value. It has no weight. The chaff is not of any consequence. It's not important. And so the chaff then ends up in unquenchable fire, which is a code word or a code description for hell. And the good grain are the good people that have been baptized, that have confessed Jesus, that have repented of their sins, and then they are taken up into heaven, and they will rejoice with Jesus for all eternity. Well, that is a picture of baptism. That is a description of the salvation experience. And later on in this chapter, then Jesus himself, and people ask many times, well, why should we be baptized? Isn't it okay to just be sprinkled or just to ignore baptism altogether? And the answer to that question then is Jesus himself was baptized. He was baptized for two reasons. One, to be an example for us, how we should behave and what we should do as Christians, as new believers. He set the example for us. But secondly, it says that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean, to fulfill all righteousness? Jesus Christ was not being baptized for the remission of his sins because he had no sin. He was being baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill all of the jot and tittle of the law. He was fulfilling all the demands of his Father upon himself, and he was fulfilling every command and every prophecy about himself. And so he wanted to be baptized. He knew that was the right thing to do, to be in right standing with Jehovah God, with his Father. And so he comes to John the Baptist, just as the other people had come to John. It says Jesus came from Galilee, all the way from the northern Israel, to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me. In other words, John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you, because John had sin and Jesus did not. And Jesus answered and said to him, permit it now to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. For us, in other words, for John to participate in this, to John to also fulfill all righteousness, and for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness, the forerunner and the Messiah together in the water. And Jesus went down into the water, and immersion baptism was then accomplished in the life of Jesus Christ. And it says, then he allowed him, he allowed Jesus to be baptized. And then verse 16 is a key verse also. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, we'll talk more about that Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus, and how it descends upon you and upon me. And so that is a subject for another day of the two baptisms. But the important thing here to recognize is that Jesus Christ himself realized the importance of fulfilling the Father's wish for his life. Jesus Christ realized the importance of fulfilling all righteousness and doing what the Father desired for him to do. And so he was immersion baptized. And beloved, I believe that all Christians who understand this scripture will have a desire to be immersion baptized. It is a symbol of our death, burial, and resurrection, which we'll look at here in just a minute, a symbol of our walk with the Lord, our identity of the Lord, our death with him, and our burial with him, and our resurrection with him. And so as we identify in our walk with Jesus Christ, we will have a desire to be immersion baptized. If you have never been immersion baptized, you need to do that and find a church that will do that, or find somebody, a pastor, a deacon, an elder, somebody with some spiritual authority who can baptize you in water and immerse you into the water. And so we'll look here in Romans chapter 6, and we'll start here in, let's just start in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? This is the Apostle Paul talking about baptism. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, God gives us grace and he doesn't hold our sins against us. Shall we continue in sin so that we can have more grace and understand that God will just continue to pour out grace upon us? And Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And as I spoke before, the Lord said in Romans 3:23 through the Apostle Paul that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so if you're listening to me today and you have never been baptized, you have never confessed your sin, you need to know that you are in good company. Many, many people have never confessed their sin, but you need to come to the Lord today and repent of your sin, confess your sin, and desire to live a life that is patterned after Jesus Christ. We are conformed to be in the image of Christ Jesus. In other words, we have been predestined to be conformed into Jesus' image. God's plan for you and for me and for all people is that we come to a place in our life where we desire to live like Jesus Christ, and not only desire to live like him, but to actually do it, to actually be a righteous person, and not just look like a righteous person or act like a righteous person when other people are looking, but actually in our inner man to be a righteous person and to model our life after the Savior, after the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, to actually model our life and pattern our life after him and desire to live it in a way that we can't without the power of God. Well, we'll take this up more in Romans 6 because this is very pertinent to the water baptism. It's pertinent to the discussion of sin and repentance. And so next week, we'll take this up as we talk about two baptisms here on Gather the Outcast Radio. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio broadcast. It's a listener-supported ministry. And so we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for all the good listeners that we have had over the many years. And we invite you to support this ministry As I spoke before, we've got great projects going in Africa. We're going to do more crusades in Tanzania later in the summer and next fall. And so we thank the Lord for the open doors here. We thank the Lord for the children at the children's home and the good church that we have planted here in Kenya. And so we invite you to be a part of that. You can help support this ministry. You can send or you can go. You can come visit us here in Kenya if you would so desire. And so we appreciate you. We invite you to sit down and write out a check of support for this ministry. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you appreciate these broadcasts. Keep this good broadcast coming on the air. And we thank the Lord for that. So we thank you for listening today. If you stay tuned, you will hear contact information, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.